Hey, everybody. This is Adam, host of the Unpopular Opinion Podcast and the owner, operator, founder, whatever you want to call it, of the Unpops Network. Just a heads up, on Mondays, for at least the next few weeks, we're going to be posting some bonus episodes of either new shows that we've added recently that, unless you pay really close attention to our SoundCloud page, you may not be familiar with, or we're going to be posting episodes of things that you can only get if you subscribe to Unpops on Patreon, which is patreon.com/unpops, by the way. That's what today's episode is. It's a show called What's Your Problem? It's a health and wellness show. It's a podcast about getting your life in order. Ironically enough, it's hosted by myself and Chet Wild. We also have a special guest on this episode. We'll probably have special guests on a lot of the episodes going forward. But in the meantime, if you subscribe on patreon.com/unpops, you can hear all the back episodes of What's Your Problem, which feature me and Chet Wild trying to get our shit together over the past year. Speaking of that, there's even an episode where I drive Chet to a colonoscopy appointment. You don't want to miss that. Patreon.com/unpops if you want to check out more episodes. Also, we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of Unpopular Opinion featuring Danger Van Gorder and the lovely and talented Dave Waite. You don't want to miss it. Until then, enjoy What's Your Problem. Thanks. We love you.
Welcome to What's Your Problem? A show about getting your life in order. With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Chet Wild.
Wow. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Chet. Welcome to What's Your Problem?
The free edition of What's
Your Problem. A free episode. We're going to put a few episodes of this up to maybe encourage people to subscribe. You can hear this podcast every month.
Not only is it free, it's loaded with guests.
For the first time. This is the first time we've had a guest.
Yeah, usually it's just me and my shit. But no, you guys deserve a break.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be different with this not being the last 30 minutes just Chet running down the doctor's appointments he's had.
Plus, I think you need time to get more problems.
Is Danger here?
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
What's up?
Yeah. Danger's here, too.
I am your problem.
Yeah. In general. Yeah.
My only problem with you is that you don't commit fully through a game of Risk. You give up after 6 hours and do one sudden death round.
It was 3 hours, and it was midnight.
It felt like six, and I had nothing until 8 a.m., so I don't know why
we had. We got seven turns into that game before we said, you know what, it's been 3 hours, and Risk is basically the worst.
Well, it was a good time.
I mean, let's do some speed set up like a strategic. Oh, yeah.
You know we're not doing the board game podcast right now.
No, not right now.
If people want to hear it, they should subscribe, we have to deliver on it.
My problem is not enough board games in my life.
And if they want to hear What's Your Problem every month, they should subscribe. And we do have another guest, Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mike is a listener of the podcast, the main podcast. No one listens to this one yet.
Yet.
That's not true. We have so many subscribers. Lots of people listen to this.
I get a lot of messages.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Mike, you just flew in?
No, again, yesterday morning.
Yesterday, okay. Morning. And where are you in from?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas. Out here just for this, or not just for this, you know what I mean? Or are there other things that bring you to L.A.?
Well, I mean, L.A. is great, so it's always fun to hang out. But it's actually wife and I's 20th wedding anniversary.
Whoa!
Oh, right.
Toledo! Congratulations.
Yeah, tomorrow, actually, is the actual date. So,
Wanted
to get a quick little holiday vacation in before getting back to the cold weather.
Nice. So, you guys have any big New Year's Eve plans then? So you got married on New Year's Eve then.
We did.
What this means.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, 97.
I'm putting it all together.
You're such a sleuth, Chet.
Now, is that something that your friends and family gave you shit for? Or they're like, you know what?
Not to my face. Okay. So
that's one of those things when there's like a Christmas or New Year's wedding. It's like, now you better live up to Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. You know what I mean?
Well, you bring in expectations into the room when you set it on a holiday.
That's a good point.
I think the only thing sadder than not making out with somebody at midnight would be being at a wedding and still not being able to make out with somebody.
Dry wedding.
Just so alone.
Yeah.
So you go to a lot of weddings there,
anyway,
Chet?
Sorry. So Danger for the and people, I are in the room. We'll go off the rails. Let's edit all that out and get back on track.
Run people through the premise of this podcast.
Okay, the premise of the podcast. The premise of this podcast, What's Your Problem, is we talk about health and well-being. Typically, it's been whatever Adam and I are going through. Adam has a couple things that he's tried to tackle, and he has tackled them successfully. Cut back on the smoking. He magically got rid of a giant cyst off his foot.
Just went away.
Burst
out of my foot like fucking xenomorph.
Put on a top hat, grabbed the bindle, and said, yep. Oh, the world's wide open.
And I have a variety of health issues that I've been neglecting for a couple years. I didn't establish primary care in LA, so last year, over the course of this podcast, I established something like 11 doctors and had cameras in all the places. And
we're very proud and happy that you're taking care of yourself because we care about Chet's. We want
and he gets OxyContin from every one of them.
I wish. But I have like half of one kidney and ulcerative colitis and a bunch of mental health shit that you can listen to past or future episodes to listen to that. But today we'll focus more to you. And you have
you being Mike, the other guest.
Yes, Mike. Sorry, I forget that's not video.
Yeah, and that still doesn't clarify that much because there are technically two Mikes in the room.
Technically speaking.
I used to, for the first like 6 months, I knew Danger. I refused to call him Danger, and it was great.
Yeah.
Such a power move on my part.
I got mad when I called you Mike on this one, so I don't.
Actually, yeah. Let's call the other Mike Danger for the rest of this.
Okay. New Danger.
Can we call you like Dang? Just so there's a little bit less confusion? Mm. Like, oh, Dang.
Risk.
So what's going on, Risk?
You
Mike Risk Williams joining us today.
Risk and Danger. It sounds.
Risk and Danger. Yeah,
we're gonna solve crimes.
We are going to solve crimes. I'm excited because that's going to replace Danger and Wild.
So Mike, you Mike. I already regret that new Danger thing. So what brings you here today? What are we talking about?
Well, a few things. The most important thing I wanted to talk about was rare diseases and just. Folks dealing with special needs in general, is our oldest daughter has a chromosome deletion. It's called 22q13 deletion syndrome. I think the geneticists out there call it 22q13. I think that's how you call it, but that's not me, so I don't care.
I talked to a geneticist earlier today, and that is how they said it.
Is that what they said? Okay,
it's the first thing you guys talked about.
Chet coming through with the research.
I wasn't kidding. I did.
Mm.
But it's fairly rare. There's only about 1,500 cases that have been diagnosed. Now, part of that's just like detection. There's not a lot of I think it's only been in the last 20 or so years that it's even been recognized as anything, that the folks that discovered it even put a name to it and kind of categorized what all was going on in there.
Yeah, the general belief is it's grossly underdiagnosed.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh. Because they need more people like you out here bringing awareness.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping to do. And hopefully, you know, get people on board with that a little bit. Maybe get if folks are in a giving mood, they can maybe get some money out to the foundation set up for those families, and kind of help fund some research and outreach, and just kind of helping those families out too. The foundation set up for those folks, they do a good job, but there's just not a lot of money for it.
Now, are you comfortable talking about your experiences and how you came about this? Because I think that's one way for people to relate and connect to actually understand and hear
absolutely.
People's stories. So. What was it? What symptoms were present, or what characteristics were there that you first kind of had a question or concern that led to the diagnosis? And if you could kind of take us down that path.
Yeah, everything was fine with the pregnancy and the birth. There was no real issues there. And for the first year or so, we, as far as we tell, everything was going pretty good. At about 18 months or so, my brother's first child, his son, was born. But shortly before then, but we started seeing them when he was a good year or so younger than our daughter, but he developmentally, we could tell he was more advanced than she was. So at about 18 months of 2 years, we started thinking, well, there's a little some issues here, and the school district actually has some resources and people and stuff that can kind of test some of this stuff to see what the actual, you know, if there are delays and interventions that need to happen. So they did some of those tests and basically they just came back and said she's developmentally delayed, and which obviously we knew that, and you know, started doing some early childhood intervention sort of stuff and some basic therapies. And there's not a whole lot you can do when they're 2 years old, but there are some basic stuff to try to help get things established so that they can build on that and actually get them back up to speed as they get older. It that progressed somewhat. It made some improvements for sure, but as we see with this syndrome in particular, there's a lot of times you'll make gains, and then either something that you had mastered in the past that falls away, or even some of the gains that you make kind of go away again too. So we're dealing with a lot of that.
And how old is she now?
She's 19.
Okay. And this earlier therapy, was there a honed in diagnosis yet at the point? Because she's basically as old as the diagnosis has existed.
Right. Right. No, back then we didn't have any kind of specific diagnosis that was.
Yeah. How long did that take before you got a specific diagnosis?
Well, that wasn't until 7 years when she was. No, it was after the. Right. Not 07. Okay, yeah, sorry.
No problem.
Get my date straight here. Yeah, back in 2007, she actually had brain surgery, and they resected the left frontal lobe of her brain. Wow. And then they did the pathology on that, and that's how they figured it out from there, because they can actually do the whatever genetic screening and stuff that they need to do on that. But that's really the only way to do it, to get a definitive diagnosis there.
Wow.
From some of the symptoms, especially our daughter doesn't have a lot of the physical signs, but there are some kind of dysmorphic figures that you can get sometimes from the disorder that at least can give you a hint that maybe that's what you're dealing with. But you actually have to do the genetic test to get that, because it's a deletion on a specific part of a specific chromosome. So
the chromosome itself isn't missing. It'll show up in like a chromosomal test.
Well, the 13. The region 13 on the Q arm of the 22nd chromosome is gone.
Okay.
And that's a big section, so it can be part of the region or a whole, or, almost all of the whole region.
Yeah, it can just be shortened.
Right.
Like it varies.
Right. So you get a big spectrum of symptoms from the folks that have it, because it could be, depending on where the deletion or how much of the deletion is there, is how much other symptoms they're dealing with.
And is there any indication to the cause of it, both in general and specific in your daughter's case, whether it's environmental versus genetic versus just completely random?
Aside from feeding her Clorox in her formula?
Yeah.
No, there's really nothing. There's no specific cause of that. It's just a random mutation, and that first time that the DNA is, getting copied and stuff, there's just that one little spot doesn't copy right and gets deleted.
So you talked about, fortunately she wasn't affected that much physically. What have been some of the behavioral and intellectual challenges, and how do you go about aiding in those or overcoming when possible?
Yeah, but she's on the autism spectrum, and a lot of those kids are. Of course, we still don't really understand a whole lot about autism, where it comes from and all that stuff. But some of those same kind of behaviors, repetitive behaviors, stimulation-seeking sort of stuff, and chewing on things, there's a lot of that. Impulsivity, overall, our biggest issues is just intellectual disability, I guess. I mean, it's mental retardation is what it is. I know some people get mad when I use that word now, but, that's pretty succinct, I think. So she's always had kind of the mentality of a toddler, basically. So, and she's nonverbal too, so not a lot of communication verbally. That she's still pretty good at getting her point across whenever she needs something or wants something to happen. But just she can't think like we do, and can't think things out like that. So that's some of the issues. There are some kids that are real have real aggression issues, and my heart goes out to those folks, because that's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
You can't really communicate with them. Very easily. Plus, they've got anger issues or whatever, and they can cause a lot of problems.
Huh. My mom worked for Arts and Services for Disabled for years and years, like in the front office. And it is astounding just how vast that spectrum can be. There were clients in there who showed no physical abnormalities whatsoever, and you put a microphone in their hands, and they would sing Bobby Darin, and it would sound like. I can't remember. I think his name was Frank, which appropriate. Some of these folks are really really. Their capabilities vary so widely. Have you seen any of her capabilities, artistically? Is she able to express herself through paint or anything like that?
No. There's really nothing like that. She's great on using the iPad though.
No, what's she like to do?
YouTube's a big player. And then we got, you know, we downloaded some games and stuff like that. But yeah, she likes using that stuff. But no, there's not much not much in that direction, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
No, definitely.
Well, you mentioned it is a really broad spectrum. My son actually has Fragile X syndrome. And I don't talk about my son much, or my family in general much.
Not
on
unless
the podcast,
he subscribed to this podcast.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him hear this podcast if he didn't subscribe anyway. Because I'm like, oh, fucking awful dad. But yeah, it's almost not. I mean, he's on the autism spectrum, but it's so far from what you're describing. Like he's, you know, he can hold down a job and communicate, and you know, it's not outward like all that noticeable. But yeah, it is a really kind of broad spectrum. Like it really runs the gamut.
It can be kind of oversimplifying to say, yeah, this person has autism. Like, all right, well, what kind? I think that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this podcast, specifically this episode, is to really dive in and see just how many different kinds of autism that there are, and the different ways that that can manifest, you know.
And it's kind of turning into kind of a common joke now. Like Connor McSpadden to some extent is autistic. And you know, you hear that and you're like, okay.
Well, I mean,
no, Connor's that, just an asshole,
yeah,
right?
He's not.
But it's such a, like, because it can be associated with so many different things, I think it's a thing that it's easy to kind of stigmatize it as not being that bad when it's such a diverse and broad thing.
Yeah, every case is different.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've been married for 20 years, and obviously something like this presents a unique set of challenges that most couples, you know, parenting, I imagine, is difficult as it is, but this certainly has to put you through the wringer with challenges. I think one thing that people don't talk about or don't realize a lot, whether it's with battling your own diseases or caring for somebody that has health issues, the psychological challenges it gives you. So I was wondering if you could talk a little about what you've done for your own health and well-being, I guess, on your own, and then collectively to keep your relationship strong.
Yeah, I just push all that down and don't acknowledge that feelings exist.
All right. I'm surprised you're not stand-up.
I don't know. It's hard sometimes, especially at the beginning. I remember being really upset about, you know, she's never going to grow up and have, you know, have homework that she has to bring home and struggle with, and we have to work together on that, and she's not going to have boyfriends and going out on dates, and you know, she's not going to get married, know what it's like to have kids and all that stuff. And I mean, you know, I got really, you know, it just kind of bummed me out, thinking that's, you know, that's how it's supposed to go. You get married and you have kids and they grow up and you teach them through all that stuff, and you know, not gonna have that with her. And I didn't specifically dwell on that too much. I don't know if there's anything I took definitively to try to get over that. I think having our second daughter probably helped with that a lot.
You have three kids total?
But just two.
Two? Okay. A second daughter. Yeah.
She has three kids. Hey.
Okay. Workshop and material.
Yeah. But at some point, you have to accept it for what it is. And being okay with that and saying, this is not the life I was expecting, but there's something I can take from this and still, it can still be good. And I think one of the things to me is just realizing it, as much as I'm, you know, want to be happy and with my life and the things that I was hoping for it, you know, her being happy is really probably the most important thing that I can do as a parent. And what the stuff that makes her happy, you know, is having her iPad, watching her TV shows, and, you know, being around us, and, you know, that those sorts of things. That's what makes her happy. And as long as she's happy, then, you know, I think I've done at least a decent job of being a parent.
I think a challenge that comes along with that too, and I'm happy to hear you say that, you know, kind of just accept it and that's it, and it not letting it define you and not holding on to like resentment out of something that you can't control, because a lot of people that deal with these things, they just always hang on to like, I did something wrong, or this isn't fair, or why, universe, and can never get past that, and also let those things completely define their lives, or as I imagine, there may be even be some people like try to define your daughter by that, rather than she's a person that has this, but that isn't all that she is, and that's not all that you are as parents.
Right? Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And in the beginning too, it was really hard. I remember going, you know, we're trying to eat out at a restaurant, and I don't know if she was more fussy than a little kid or not, but she was, you know, she couldn't necessarily console her the same way you could, you know, other little kids. And I remember just like wolfing down my meal really fast just so I could pick her up and take her outside. And, you know, and she's getting all mad at me for doing that stuff. And yeah, she handled a lot better than I could. So he's like, you know what? Screw those other people. They're going to get mad that our kid's crying. Then they're going to get mad. And I was like, no, but they're mad. And but, you know, I finally got to the point, well, so what? So they'll just be mad. You know, they don't understand. They give weird looks in the store or whatever because, you know, because the kid's behaving strange to them. And it's like, well, sorry, that's your problem.
Not mine. Some of that is just people being...
People suck, but yeah.
Yeah.
Be very focused on themselves and not being able to actually assess a situation. It's like, even when somebody's waiting at the line, like, why the fuck am I waiting so long at this 15-item check? It's like, there are things more important in the world. It's not all about you and your goddamn candy bar right now. I don't know what fucking point I was making there. I just really hate people.
You just don't want me to keep buying candy bars.
No, I'm worried for your sugar consumption. Yeah. What was I going to? I lost my track. Trying not to go in a fight with danger.
You were good.
Keeping our tension down today.
Yeah, how much money is it going to take to get donated to this foundation for you and Danger to fight?
Oh,
I'll slap them for free right now. Well, that does get into one of the things that I believe you want to talk about today in raising awareness. It's my understanding that, one, there's not much awareness, but two, there's also not enough research being done by any means, either because it's a new thing or it's something that affects so few people, so there aren't specialists in it. Yep. Could you elaborate a little more on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of coming at it from a bunch of different angles that kind of prevent a lot of, you know, everybody knows about cancer, everybody knows somebody that had cancer, everybody wants to beat cancer. There's plenty of people talking about ending cancer and money going, you know, well, maybe not plenty, but there are lots of money going towards research on that stuff. When nobody knows about a disease and nobody knows anybody that's affected by that disease, then there's just not much way to get money out there for those people. So hopefully we can raise a few bucks and help that out a little bit.
Now, if somebody wanted to help that out right now, what's the way to go about doing that? Is there a specific organization or a specific place to donate money? Or also, where could people better educate themselves on this?
Yep, 22Q13.org, the Phelan-McDermid Syndrome Foundation. Those are the two doctors that originally, you know, came up with the diagnosis, and the foundation set up for the families and for doing the research and outreach and that kind of stuff.
And not to be insensitive to this, but when I was reading it, I was like, really? They call it PMS? Like,
yeah.
That's what?
Oh, yeah. That's my first thought, too.
Like, you can't be like, I can't go out, I take care of my daughter. What's wrong? She has PMS. You can't say that.
Just,
you know?
Couldn't have put the other doctor's name first.
McDermid Phelan Syndrome.
PS? That would have worked too.
Yeah, what's wrong with your daughter? She has PMS. Well, fuck you, Ben. Everybody.
I think we
said that for 3 years straight. That doesn't seem normal. Get that checked. Man.
Yeah, I think we can agree that's the biggest problem here. Is the
absolutely
PMS. Yeah. So you have some plans for, because obviously you're going to have to. She's going to need care for her entire life.
Right.
You're going to have to be around for all that. You mentioned at one point you were losing weight. Is that?
Yeah. Several years ago, I was climbing up the stairs in our house, and I got winded going up one flight of stairs. I'm like, well, this isn't going to work out very well. So, yeah, I started working on losing some weight so, you know, one, I could just be alive for a while.
That's important.
Is this all on your own before your doctor said, like, hey, you got X, Y, and Z, like lower your blood pressure, your cholesterol's high, or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going for that. And then also realizing, well, you know, I've got this well, at the time she was probably, 12, 13 years old. But, you know, this human that lives here, and now she's about, 5'3" and 100 pounds, and if she falls down, she has a seizure, and which unfortunately happens a lot, you know, something happens with her, and she needs to be carried somewhere to be safe. You know, I'm not going to be able to do that without, you know, having a coronary or something. So sure. I need to. And there's been plenty of times where she's, you know, either really tired, and we have to give her drugs at night to help her sleep. Even so, sometimes they kick in a little bit quicker, and I got to carry upstairs because she can't. You know, she's basically already asleep. Mm-hmm. So I can't carry her or can't walk up the stairs. So I have to carry upstairs. And I was like, you know, when I was 285, I'm not going to be able to couldn't do this. So yeah, it's trying to get in shape, doing better at it. And I was like, when I first started,
285.
Well, no, I'm not.
Yeah, about 235 how much have you lost?
Yeah, yeah, 50 pounds
now. So
nice.
Yeah, nice. Congrats. Yeah.
What was your approach to that?
Eat less food.
It really is. Like, that's a huge thing. I've lost over 100 pounds myself.
Yeah. Yeah, when I heard that you lost 100 pounds, like, well, that's not so special, is it?
I mean, really, it's not. But really, so much of it is diet. Like, exercise is great for endorphins and for your cardiovascular and for your heart, but you can exercise 7 days a week if you're eating like shit. Your arteries are still going to be lined with
garbage.
Why
are you staring at me while saying all of this stuff?
I'm walking. I'm switching eyes.
Because
I'm
worried about
eye contact around the room.
Just because I go to a store and buy one candy bar and get upset when the line takes a long time, and then I complain about it to the person behind me, and then you hear about that and tell everyone on a podcast.
No, it costs you a couple votes, and I want you to win your next election. All
right, I suppose that's fair.
I read it in your Yelp review, Danger.
Okay, so, I mean, was there anything specific with diet, or it was just you like to eat a lot and I'm gonna cut down on the portion sizes?
Yeah, I definitely make a concerted effort to eat more vegetables and less fried stuff, but yeah, the vast majority is just eating fewer calories. As best I can tell, that's the most important thing to do there.
Do you have a time frame in mind for—
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be about 6 years ago.
Oh, all right.
So that's, I kind of feel like a piece of shit. I see all these, like, Yahoo stories, these people, I lost 240 pounds in 6 weeks, or whatever. I was like,
yeah, that's never healthy.
They bounce back.
Yeah, I hope so. Is that bad? Then I think that's
bad. Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah, if you ever actually read those fat people, I lost, like, 100 pounds, it's like, yeah, because they cut off your leg due to diabetes. Yeah. It's cheating.
I have considered therapeutic amputation, but it's—
Yeah, it would be great if we could just get, like, lighter metallic arm. Like, if I could get a Pistorius arm, I would shed some weight, and I would have a blade for an arm.
Cable? We talking about a cable arm?
He doesn't have a cable. No. He had the blades.
No, I'm talking about Cable, the popular Marvel comic book character.
You know I don't...
Not the guy that murdered his girlfriend?
No, not that guy. Okay. I'd rather be, like, a fake person who does heroic things than a real person who shot somebody once.
To each their own.
Yeah, no, that's
fair. I guess.
That's fair.
You know.
So do you have specific fitness? I'm just going to ignore all that. Do you have specific fitness goals right now that you're aiming towards? I mean, we're coming up on the new year, and New Year's resolutions, things like that.
Yeah, nothing real specific. I'm always, the biggest things I always focus on is, if I had any kind of goals like that, it's make sure I just track what I eat. I've got a little app on the phone.
My Fitness Pal?
I do, yeah. I used Lose It for a long time, and now I'm using it. So if anybody wants to sponsor me for that, they can certainly do that. But yeah, just tracking what I eat. I find even if you're not eating super healthy and if you're eating too much, if you're, there's some magic in actually doing the tracking part of it.
It makes you aware of what you're putting in your system, because you tell yourself, like, I'm just going to cheat today. And then when you log it, you're like, I've eaten fast food 7 days in a row. Yeah. Quit being a piece of shit. Where whenever you cheat about what you put in your body, the only person you're cheating is yourself. You can lie in an app, you can lie to your friends, but
yeah, for sure,
it's gonna show up the same in your body.
Just can't lie to that waistline.
There it is. Slightly delayed. Adam, edit that together so it goes more smoothly. Good.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
No, you won't.
Well, that's something I gotta focus more on.
Jokes.
I did the whole, see, so sassy. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take Carrie's shit. I'm not going to take your shit. I love you, Danger.
We're very good friends. We're very good
friends. Does friendship work one way, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay. there, I got that joke up. I did the whole 30 elimination diet and completely cut sugars for 30 days, cut all sugars, dairy, legumes. And then I did a test for biomarkers because I have colitis, which is mostly asymptomatic, but when they go in there with a camera, my colon is not healed. So I did that test, which is shit in a cup, good times. They look at your biomarkers and I still show inflammation. It's so Adam doesn't have to drive me to the hospital and put a camera up my ass every time. I need to know.
Can we still have that happen?
I've never once put a camera up your ass.
I thought you were like, maybe have a very special
there
episode.
Is an episode of this podcast where I drove Chet to his colonoscopy
and then you hear me on drugs afterwards. I don't remember any of it. But I'll do another colonoscopy next year, don't you worry. But live to get stream. Back on track, so now I'm going to do something called a select carbohydrate diet,
which is specific for the type of disease I have, but it's basically, it's cutting out anything's good. Like, I can't even eat potatoes now. Any complex starches completely out, most dairy out. I have to make my own, I have to ferment my own yogurt for 24 hours every day. And like,
I think I'd rather just die at your age.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Here's, not to get too dark on this podcast, but I had a good friend of mine, Dave, mid to late 30s, was at a wedding. The night before Christmas Eve, goes to his girlfriend. Hey, I don't feel that well. Fucking minute later, dead on the floor.
What?
Jeez.
And he was in shape, and he ate well. So we'll see what that comes back.
Yeah, I tweeted about this, but I just found out a kid I went to school with died. He was the same kid who stole my copy of Mike Tyson's Punch Out in seventh grade. So,
You're never getting it back.
Yeah,
exactly. I was gonna ask, did you get it back? But
no. Well, actually, yes. But here's what happened. He stole it, but claimed that someone else stole it from me and that he stole it from them, but that I needed to pay him for stealing it back from them.
That's capitalism.
Right? I got it back, but I had to give him $25 in seventh grade money, which that was a lot of cash back
like,
then.
Like bubble tape and
Tops cards. I had a paper route.
Okay.
So. So, yeah, you were you mentioned in your email also you had an interesting plan for possibly raising money for your daughter's care in the future.
Well, yeah, because I feel like an asshole even bringing this up.
I can bring it up if you want me.
Okay.
You know what you should do.
He's a professional asshole.
What I did want to say one thing, that when you're talking about special diets and stuff, shortly after our daughter got diagnosed and she started, well, it was at age 4 she started having seizures. Mm-hmm. And that was a fun time.
Yeah, exactly.
driving to the airport in a freaking sleet storm, and she's having seizures like every 30 seconds in the backseat and stuff. But one of the things, we tried a bunch of different drugs with, you know, varying success. We started doing the ketogenic diet, and I don't know if anybody has done that, but it's for some reason, if you get into ketosis where you don't have any carbohydrates, it's all protein and fat that you're eating. For some people, that helps regulate their seizures. I don't really understand how it works exactly, but we did that, and for about a year, it worked pretty well. I was going to have cut down on the seizures quite a bit, but it's such a pain in the ass to try to keep the food. You had to measure all of her food down to the tenth of a gram. Oof. It's a bunch of heavy whipping cream and eggs and butter, and honestly, we think that kind of stunted her growth because it was, you know, she's, what, 7 or 8 years old, supposed to be eating, you know, healthy and getting you really can't have a lot of vegetables or fruits. Definitely no fruit because there's all the sugar and stuff. That was pretty brutal. But caring for her can be kind of expensive. Thankfully, we both have decent jobs and pay pretty well. So, the day-to-day stuff is all right. We've set up a trust for her so that when we die, there's money available to make sure that she's still cared for. And I definitely encourage anybody that has, you know, or knows anybody that has special needs kids, go find a financial planner that focuses on families with special needs, because it's very everything you know about financial planning is completely backwards for special needs stuff. It's especially if you're dealing with any kind of government benefits whatsoever. You have to be very, very careful about how you do that.
The people in this room know zero about financial planning.
Here's what I would do if I were you. I'd fire my financial planner. And then you're in LA, fucking go on some game shows, try to win some money. See what I did? Smooth segue.
Transition.
But you have talked about like how fun it would be if you got on some game shows.
I would. Ultimately, I would love to get on some game shows and win some cash. The biggest thing is being able to, you know, fund that special needs trust. We can buy some life insurance. It's not insanely expensive, but you know, if we could win like $50,000 roughly, and just do a single premium insurance policy and be done with it, that'd be great. Of course, I'd like to win a little bit more money to help our other daughter get to college.
Well, you don't want to win $100,000 to get $50,000 because they'll tax the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Do you have a game show of choice here?
I had started thinking about The Wall, you know, the Chris Hardwick NBC joint there. Okay. But I don't know if they're even coming back for another season. I don't. The last I heard, there all it says is a third season has not been been ordered yet or something like that. So it's kind of, as far as I can tell, it's up in the air. So, I mean, shit, I don't know.
There's a show called The Chase. If they could bring that back for one episode.
I remember that.
Me and you could team up and win some cash on that.
Yeah.
That is, I love that show. It's on Netflix. You can all go watch. It's a trivia show where you're competing against one guy who they call the Beast. He's this
the real smarmy British dude.
Yeah, right? British dude, and he is pretty good.
I will say this.
I mean, I would destroy on that show, but still.
Do not put, and you haven't, so that's good. Do not put all of your eggs in the game show basket. I was dating this girl. She needed $10,000.
Are you sure about this, Chad?
Listen from experience. I know it seems like a sure thing, but listen. You met her. Danger, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, you didn't say anybody's name.
No, you know, game show girl.
From my old place.
You mean Chet's dated West more Adams. Than one girl?
That's right.
That surprises me.
So she needed 10 grand to pay off whatever. And she's like, we'll just get on this game show. It's super easy. It's the whatever Hollywood trivia bullshit game they have couples on. And we went and auditioned, and she became like a stage mom, like right before the audition, was telling me exactly what to say and what not to say. And like, I totally freaked out and bombed the audition so fucking hard to the point that they said, listen, we thought you guys were a shoo-in when you started. Oh, and then God. He talked. But if you come back next spring with a better partner, we can almost guarantee you're on the show.
Wow.
So you don't want Chet helping out with your game show venture.
Maybe they just liked her because I made her cry at a game show audition. I don't know. But it, I didn't make her cry. Her
what a history you have.
I do. I mean, how do you feel about The Wheel, Jeopardy, Price is Right, the big ones that do a shitload of
you're not winning episodes. Money on the Price is Right, though. You're gonna come home with like a
well
pair
if you play the
skis.
Wheel right, you just keep hitting the
can't
the
she get like the dollar. Cash value.
I would think so.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you could probably sell it.
Yeah, I've had friends go on those shows and I know you're talking about you have an
interesting
story.
Who won a hot tub on Wheel of Fortune, and she lives in a fucking apartment. So she was like, yeah, I'm gonna sell that.
Now she sleeps in a hot tub.
Biased but, towards homeowners?
But if you, so the a way a lot of those game shows work, besides like Jeopardy and the kind of the trivial smarts ones, they pick from the, what? Fuck it, that wasn't a slight.
Trivial smarts one.
Trivial.
You know
trivial
what
smarts.
I mean. But if you go to Price is Right, they have producers talking to people as you're waiting to go in, and they right. kind of get, but what they want is they want a lot of energy, somebody that they feel like they're going to get a big emotional reaction out of. So just be like super excited, smiley.
Thanks, Chet.
Yeah.
That's well, awesome.
But no, yeah! It's awesome.
Like, yeah, you're getting it.
They just want somebody over the top, and you can make shit up about yourself. They don't fact check it at all. All right. My friend Tommy's been on a number of game shows. He's a professional actor. Don't tell them you're an actor. They won't put you on. But he makes up stories that he's like a teacher in this town, whatever, and they fucking eat that shit up.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. Let's all go on.
I don't think they have a very compelling story already. They've got, I'm sure they have pictures on their phone that could be, they don't have to make, they don't have to be secret ninjas.
Also one that I don't think is going to correlate to high energy really well.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
So you can say, despite this part of my story, I'm still here to have a good fucking time.
Let's talk about rare diseases.
But beyond that, woo! Yeah.
Can I do the Ric Flair woo?
Yes.
That's where you wear like a t-shirt that has, you know, awareness on it too, like if your price is right, because then it's a natural talking point. People do that, or I've seen more like pictures of my dad passed and he always loved the show, and now I'm talking about my dad on The Price is Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Scheming up a lot of ideas.
We should rally up the audience and get, Mike, what's your Twitter handle?
It's @red_McWilliams. Don't follow me though, I'm terrible.
I literally picked up my phone and then put it down.
First, everyone follow Mike on Twitter.
And then mass unfollow.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And we should get a campaign going.
Aside from where to donate, general awareness, is there anything specifically, well, you have the platform, that you like us to know about this? Or any additional information. If you don't have anything, that's fine too. But I just want to make sure we haven't glossed over anything and are using the platform.
Let me check my notes here, Chet.
As a parent of someone with you know these significant disabilities, what do you wish other people understood better?
Wow. Let's see, how long can we lay out here for this?
Well, the software deletes all the spaces. So if you're silent, that's why it sounds like I'm very quick when Adam and I podcast, and I'm not at all.
No, he's not.
He's real awkward.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, Chet.
You know, one of the, if I had like a magic wand or any kind of technical expertise at all, I would like to develop a mobile app for families with special needs kids to be able to hire somebody on an ad hoc basis to come help them out for a couple hours.
My idea, like an Uber for nannies?
That's exactly right.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's interesting.
Trademark that shit right now.
I have no idea how that would work. I have no idea how to build something
Talk
like that.
Talk to the people at the
McDermott Syndrome Foundation.
Yeah.
Or just the people listening to this. That is a thing that I bet someone listening to this podcast could help get started.
I know there's a couple of like ride-sharing programs that I've seen that they're it's not Uber, but it's specifically for like kids. Like, we'll come pick your kids up from school and bring them home and stuff like that. And so the drivers are very well vetted.
My friend does
that
for a living. He sits at home and watches the software to make sure that those drivers have to go specifically from place to place, not off the route.
Yeah.
Confirms the kids are dropped off, all that
shit. So it seems like there's that is something that could happen, some way to make that possible so you have good quality people that can come in and help out. You know, I've had a fantasy that if I won just a shitload of money on some game show.
Which you will.
Yeah, you will. Well,
That'll happen too.
Well, whatever I win, I'm going to split that with the foundation anyway. But, and it's so funny, if I get on a tangent here, the more I've been thinking about all this stuff, and at first I thought, man, it'd be so awesome to win a bunch of money and, you know, be a champion for the cause, male famous, and all that. And I started realizing, or just thinking about what it would actually mean to me to have, you know, do that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't, you know, unless I'm going to win $100 million and just, you know, go live on Mars or something like that, I don't think I'd want to win that much money. I couldn't handle doing that kind of stuff. So
there's very little like infrastructure on Mars too.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to
I like that you're keeping
lot.
Expectations yeah. low, low though, because yeah. the worst thing would be if you got on a game show and then just look at the draw, like, lost everything.
Right. Yeah, I figured that's probably what happened.
There are some
anyway.
That take money away.
You have to leave them some money before you go.
We got
to
get on the chase. They should bring it back. Just one episode. One special, very special episode of the chase.
Write a letter to Mark.
Because it's a team thing. There's three people on the chase.
Does Ben Stein still have any money we can win?
Probably not.
Like that reference?
That was actually
it was a great reference. It's pretty great.
But anyway, if I had a lot of money, I would put it into that app there to try to help those families out. Because we're very lucky. We still get along pretty well, and like I said, we have decent jobs. Money's not a huge concern. But there are so many of these families that as soon as they get the diagnosis, then like the husband splits. He's like, I've seen so many posts like that from the Facebook group. And you know, and then you're dealing, you got two or three doctors that you deal with, and then a neurologist, and you know, some of these kids got, you know, they need a nephrologist, they've got all kinds of gastrointestinal issues, you've got a gastroenterologist, you've got three or four different therapists, you've got all the school administrators and the teacher. You learn so much more about school administration when you have a special needs kid, because there's so many more people working there than you don't
even know
about.
As lighthearted as possible, while I was reading down all the different doctors I see, because it's like, nephrologist, gastrointestinal issues, multiple therapists. I'm like, wait, do I have this person? And I'm like, oh, it's the other thing. But I have the same doctors.
Yeah. So you got a lot of these folks that they don't have a lot of money. They certainly don't have the time to deal with this stuff. You know, so they have to find the time to do it. So they deal with that all day, and they're working a full-time job that's maybe not super
probably working more than a full-time job.
Right, for sure. You know, and then they come home, and, you know, they have to make dinner for their kids, because they probably have more than one kid anyway, and they try to get them off to bed, you know, and then most of the kids, like ours, they, you know, they're not toilet trained. They can't do that. And then, you know, you get them to bed, and then sometimes shit happens, and then, you know, it can go everywhere. And you got, so at 2 a.m., you're cleaning up shit off the walls after dealing with that entire day, and you're running on 3 hours sleep. And it would really be nice if you could pull up the app, say, I need help for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And have somebody come over and help you get that cleaned up so you can get to bed. You know, just
it really ultimately is. It's genuinely a great fucking idea. And I'd be surprised if that doesn't exist on some level in certain markets, even. While you're here in L.A., maybe look it up and see if that's a thing.
Or if someone, I'm sure someone listening knows enough about apps that they could help set something like that up. Maybe.
That'd be great. I would love to be able to get something like that into people's hands.
Yeah. It's a really great idea. So we should probably wrap it up. We have to record another thing in 5 minutes.
Chet's got a date.
Chet's got a date, most importantly.
Going to see Itanya.
Good old 2:30 in the afternoon, romantic date.
Because I have to get drunk for this show tonight, and I had to record earlier, so I said I could go on a date after the podcast, but before the other podcast. And she's like, "You podcast?" And I'm like, "Don't ask questions."
Oh,
what
nice.
What a strong start. That's an
awesome date.
Yeah.
All right. So is there any last things you want to plug or let people know? I think we, Chet already went through that with you. But
I think we hit it. 22Q13.org.
Yeah. Go out and check out that site. Donate some money if you can. We'll get Chet in danger to fight somehow. You don't have to give us more money for it.
14-hour game of Risk. I'm down.
I'll just stoke some tensions between them.
Oh, yeah. Could you do like a, like where people pledge for every 10 minutes that you guys play Risk or something like that?
But that's I had that idea, and I didn't say it aloud because I'm like, that's a hell of a commitment. But now that someone else said it,
that's
I'm down.
Not a bad idea.
Let's live stream Risk.
I would so rather punch you.
I mean, I'll make
you
so
now I
angry.
Really want to do it. Now
we need to get like some people bidding game. On one thing right, and if somebody bidding on the punching, and whichever one gets more money.
Yeah.
Is what.
If our listeners
no,
kick the, in, hang on. If our listeners kick in a cumulative $1,000, then we'll do a 3-hour game of
three
Risk.
3 hours, my ass. We're going to do it for a day.
I say we keep playing Risk until they've pledged $1,000.
That sounds horrible.
I say more than $1,000.
I do not like Risk. I had so much fun.
We can switch it up. I have Plague Incorporated, the box game version.
I'm down to play anything else.
You play as basically a virus that's trying to destroy the world.
But we need a 12-hour game.
We're getting off track.
I don't
want
to play Risk for 12
We're getting
hours.
Very off track here. But
hey, you got any plugs?
Mike, you got any shows coming up? You hitting any bar shows while you're in L.A.?
Yeah, all the open mics in L.A. No, God, no.
I don't know what we have to plug. Probably
I'll
live
be in
podcast
Sandy.
At Hollywood Hotel at the end of the month.
Yeah.
January, last Saturday in January. I don't know what date that'll be.
Listen to Countless Thousands, please.
Gross.
Go to Bandcamp. Pay money. Thank you.
I have 3 shows at the Comedy Palace January 19th. That's a Friday, I believe. There'll be more information on my social media, but 3 shows, San Diego.
Oh, I have a couple LA shows this month. I'm doing January 5th at Westside Comedy Theater with all the former Cracked people, but I think that's sold out. And January 22nd, I'm doing someone's show. I just remember I was asked about that.
Can you be any more specific?
It's in California.
All right.
Los Angeles, probably.
The Southern California region.
I'll tweet about it or something. Man. And the Darkest Hour is the second Friday of every month. Come to that.
Always a good.
All right.
Tune in next month if you want to subscribe and hear about how I'm doing on no sugar for 30 days.
Oh, boy.
No potatoes. And then what growths Adam has.
I'm gonna stop drinking.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Hardcore.
I am.
All right, Godspeed.
I am.
Completely.
Probably. So, we'll see how it goes. Mostly.
You give up alcohol for January, I'll give up all sugar.
Okay.
All sugar and complex carbs.
That's easy. As long as I don't have to give up sugar, because I can't give up alcohol and sugar in the same month.
Okay.
I would die.
All right.
Danger?
I'm not giving up anything.
No, okay.
How cool. about you wear life. Pants for a month?
No.
Yeah, instead of...
Look, I love pants, but one does not wear pants when one is on a bicycle.
Okay. We have to get out of here. All right, let's get out of here. Danger, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Mike, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Chet, say goodbye.
No need to. We're recording a live pod tonight, so it's not like I'm ending this now. We have more podcasts to do. We have so much more pod.
Goodbye, everybody. We love
all
you.
All the pod.